Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go, man. I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Our next guest is all over the NFL and the potential restart. We're so glad that he's decided to drop on by because there's a lot of questions surrounding what the NFL's training camp and preseason is going to look like. The NFLPA is recommending to the owners that there are no preseason games to be played, that right now they've already lopped off two of them, the first and the fourth, but that the second and the third would also go by the way of the dodo and instead just training camp into week one of the regular season. Joining us from NFL Network is our friend Mike Giardi. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, DA.
Always good to talk to you, my man. And what do you think? Is it a better solution in your mind to go directly from training camp to the regular season without preseason games?
Well, obviously the quality of play is going to suffer. And, you know, you talk to some former players and they'll tell you that, you know, you need those. I think that right now there are only eight padded practices that have been scheduled in at least one of the proposals. And they're like, that's just not enough. Your body needs more time to sort of harden itself to the contact and the conditioning that the game forces you to have. So I don't necessarily love the idea, but I think we're in such a situation here where, you know, the virus is doing what the virus wants to do. And, I've been pessimistic about even having a season. So I guess if they feel like this is something that gives them not an advantage, but some sort of precautions to at least get the season started, then I guess that's what you got to try to do.
Why have you been specifically pessimistic about playing the season?
I just think that there are so many unanswered questions about how you're going to deal with this. The virus, again, has its own ideas about how it's going to go, when it's going to attack, who it's going to attack. I know that in general we feel like if you're in that, 20 to 35 and you're a well-conditioned athlete, that it's really not going to impact you much. But there's some people that say there can be long-term effects even if you're asymptomatic. So, it leads to a lot of questions when you're trying to put, I guess, bare minimum, you could probably get away with 120 people in and around the football team every day. You multiply that by 32, and then you've got their families and all the math that brings into the equation. Are they doing the right things? Are they being smart? I'm not sure how you – well, I know you can't prevent it from getting into an NFL locker room. The question is then what sort of impact does it have once it gets there? That's my long, rambling answer.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. Mike Giardi joins us here from NFL Network. We are all hoping beyond hope that there is a football season. But we all have to know that there's the distinct possibility that there's not one. But I wonder about the NFL powers that be, because so much of their revenue just simply comes from their television contract.
Yeah.
And even if there's not a fan in the stands, they make so much cash on just holding the games for television inventory that they would be fine. So how much do you think that the NFL league office and owners are just going, hey, whatever it takes, we just need bodies in helmets to play for 3 hours on Sundays?
I think there's definitely a huge part of that. I mean, you follow the dollars, right? And that's why I think we're sort of on pace to begin in just a few weeks. And I think that they're going to push forward and hopes that at the very least you have games with no fans. But, you know, as you've seen in plenty of places, Pittsburgh, there's talk. I think in Ohio they're talking about it. Texas, they're talking about it, you know, having fans in stands at least to some capacity. So I definitely think we're going to press forward. Again, it's just a question of what happens when, you know, your quarterback room all ends up, you know, testing positive or having to be quarantined, and your offensive line group is all quarantined. You know, are you fine with signing a guy off the street to play that week? Are you fine with, you know, I know they're expanding practice squads. Maybe they need to expand those practice squads even more. But then again, you expand practice squads even more, now you're adding more bodies into the equation. So I guess they're going to have to come up with some sort of, you know, feelings about how that's going to work. Like, hey, if that happens, we still play. It's not a forfeit. We still play on. So, again, I think there's a lot of questions that remain sort of unanswered in the big picture here.
What do you think is going to be the effect if there are no preseason games on just the simple act of building a roster? How would that be affected?
Well, we're already talking about, right, the PA only wants 80 players instead of the normal 90 to start camp. They don't want everybody in the building at the same time, at least initially. You know, look, you're an undrafted guy this year, or a late-round pick in a situation where you're probably not expected to make the team. You're probably not going to make the team, you know, and that's unfortunate. It's, you know, for a lot of guys, you know, this might be their one real opportunity. And now, you know, because of the virus and because of, you know, sort of the restrictions that it's placing on teams, that's going to be a real issue. And look, we don't even know what sort of impact the off season had, you know, with, you talked to, you know, I was on the Zoom call with Bruce Arians, and he said 500 reps on the field, you know, this spring and summer that were lost. And, you know, what sort of effect does that have on younger players who, you know, we always expect players to make that big jump from year one to year two, and then, you know, same thing from year two to year three. Does that not happen? Obviously, something I'm monitoring here in New England with Jared Stidham, you know, for the better part of the offseason was, you know, kind of considered the guy. And obviously they just signed Cam Newton. But, you know, how do you, if you're Bill Belichick, how do you know that Jared Stidham is better than he was last year, at least on the field? Mentally, he's probably sharper. Of course, he's been dug into the playbook. But what does he do on the field? Can he lead on the field, you know, now that he's expected or was expected to be the guy? Those sorts of things I don't think you have any answers to.
Mike Giardi joins us from NFL Network. He has spent years covering the New England Patriots franchise, so he knows him inside and out. What do you think the odds are that Cam Newton actually does not win the job, and that he's either ineffective in this offense or still unhealthy enough to prevent him from playing?
There are some people around here locally that still feel as though it's, you know, Stidham still has the job. And Newton has to beat him out. I think it's the reverse. I think if Cam is healthy, Cam is here, he's going to be the guy that players in the locker room immediately look to and gravitate towards. You know, he has the resume, and, you know, through no fault of Stidham's, he doesn't have that. I think for a long time in New England, you know, they kind of look, obviously when you have Tom Brady, you run things a certain way. But I think Josh McDaniels has been intrigued about, you know, a more mobile quarterback and doing things a little bit differently. And certainly Cam is one of the more intriguing guys at the position and capable of doing some different things than they've seen here in New England for a long time. So I think it's a good test for Stidham in the sense that he had no chance to beat out Tom Brady. This is different. now you're going to really sort of find out, you know, what he's made of, what those camp battles look like. You know, again, it's going to be different and not a ton of padded practices. So, again, it kind of keeps you it limits the amount of reps you're going to get. But I think it's a good chance for him to compete and at least show that he has that fire in his belly to go toe-to-toe with Cam Newton.
One of the debate points in New England has been, does Cam Newton's flamboyant, charismatic personality fit into the very button-up New England Patriots culture and organization? Do you think that the Patriots would want to change Cam Newton and strip away that enthusiasm that he has?
No, I don't think so. I think what Cam's going to find is he's going to see a bunch of like-minded individuals act in a certain manner. And if he wants to follow in that, he can. But I think bottom line is it's all about, you know, his production. Does he play? Does he put in the time? Does he put in the effort? If he does all those things and he wants to you know, post videos on Instagram like he did last night, or if he wants to, you know, pull the Superman jersey out from underneath the shirt or whatever those things are that he does that some people seem to have a problem with, I don't think Bill's going to have a huge issue with it. I really don't.
Because at the end of the day, you know, Bill has empowered certain players that he really adores. And, you know, the personality of the Patriots is quiet, do your job, no days off, whatever. But he has certainly had players that he has allowed to be charismatic and have big personalities because they've been amazing at their jobs. And I would imagine this would follow suit with the same way, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, if he sucks and he's doing all this stuff, it's probably going to be less tolerable.
Yeah.
But if he is Cam Newton, even of 2 years ago, where the first half of the season with North Turner's offense, when he was a 68% passer and came into Foxborough and lit him up in week four, then I think Bill will be totally fine with it. You know, like, and there's that notion that Bill doesn't like celebrations. Bill likes emotion in the football game. And if your emotion leads to that celebration, then Bill doesn't really have a problem with it. And again, I still think it truly does, as we were talking about here, it truly does come down to just production. Can you play? If you can play, we can tolerate some of those things.
Going back to the safety possibilities around the NFL, have you seen the concepts on the helmets of closed face guards and face masks? And so it's almost like these players are wearing their own masks. That's a really interesting and bizarre looking concept that we've seen around the internet. Is that a reality? Is that what the NFL is hoping to institute this year?
I mean, it seems like they're trying to find, you know, there's a bunch of different prototypes sort of floating around there, but I think they are trying to find, again, ways to protect their players in a game that obviously it makes it difficult to be fully protected. And I think they will go to great lengths to try to do that. You know, I guess when my question is, and you've already heard some guys say, like, well, you know, I really need my peripheral vision. And some of these helmets, some of the prototypes that are floating out there sort of cut that off. And then again, how's the breathing in that apparatus? Because, look, if you're running 4.340s on every play, you know, you need some oxygen. You're trying to suck that back. And again, I think, you know, we still got a few more weeks here to sort of try to figure that out. But it'll be an interesting aspect of the equipment when they do come back.
Earlier in the morning, we were talking about Mark Murphy, CEO of the Packers, who wrote a piece, is writing a monthly piece for Packers.com for ticket holders and fans, and basically said, you know, we've tried to push off making hard decisions as long as possible, but now we don't have time on our side anymore. We are running out of time. Do you get the sense that a lot of NFL decision makers are feeling the same way, that right now their back is pressed against the wall and getting the walls are closed again, that they have to make some of these really difficult decisions coming up?
Yeah, I mean, that was the talk when the pandemic first hit and we first started closing down in late February and, you know, in March the league they should benefit the most from this is the NFL because, A, they can see how other teams react, plus they've got this time built in. But, you know, obviously, the virus has gone crazy in a number of different areas, and now you're, you know, 3 weeks away from the start of training camp, and you still don't have concrete answers that you would like about safety, about the virus, about how you're going to do things here. You know, going back to our conversation about the no preseason games, you know, I think the main reason the owners want preseason games, even the two, is because of the local TV contracts. They do huge numbers. It's money. But it's also a dry run for what the season's going to look like in terms of how do we handle all the things that are going to go into this that we never had to do before, you know, in terms of the travel and the hotel and keeping guys safe and feeling like the environment that they're in is clean and, you know, that they're in sort of a bubble, if you will, in that environment for road games. And that's one of the reasons why I think a lot of the football people want that at least one road game in the preseason to be able to say, all right, well, that's our dry run. You know, this worked, this didn't work. We need to button this down. We need to extend this, you know, those sorts of things. And it just, again, that's why I keep coming back to being a little bit pessimistic about the ideas. It's just, there's so many things that we have no answers for. And I think you kind of heard that too on the PA call about, you know, the Players Association, about like feeling as if, you know, what did we really get? Well, you know, we ask questions about the virus and how we're going to handle it, and we're not getting those concrete answers. And I think, you know, guys want some certainty in that regard. And they're, you know, the virus isn't allowing that. And again, we're just 3 weeks away.
Excellent point. Mike Giardi joining us this morning on the show, NFL Network insider. You can follow him on Twitter for the latest on what's going on with the NFL preseason at Mike Giardi. Mike, always good to catch up, my man. Thank you so much. I hope you had a happy and safe holiday weekend.
Same to you, DA. Be well.
Okay, you too. Mike Giardi joining us here on the show, and he's absolutely right. Those two preseason games might put you at risk, but it gives you a dry run. And so the NFL is trying to decide, is it worth putting players at risk of contraction or safety protocols in violation of, or do guys get sick or what have you because they're playing games against opponents, they're on the road, they're outside a controlled environment. Is it still worth it to take those risks simply so that you have a dry run going into the regular season? Or do you just punt on all of that and get to week one and just say, if we're going to play games and risk all the other stuff, they better be games that actually matter and count and are part of the massive national TV deals? When we come back here on the show, the scientist swole up this weekend, Bryson DeChambeau. We'll do that coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little Drippy 24/7.
You're so funny.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Home Depot is here with everything that you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier. The Home Depot is here to help, and they've got many ways to do so. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Voila.
And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more.
Voila.
Voila. And just like that, Bryson DeChambeau is enormous. What the hell happened there? So Bryson DeChambeau, who we love using the drop, the scientist on the PGA Tour, went into this weekend, and his physique, the first time some people have seen it, he added 30 pounds this offseason. 30 freaking pounds. Now, I don't know what exactly was the science behind the 30-pound addition, the 30-pound gain. But here is what his usual diet looks like. For breakfast, 4 eggs, 5 pieces of bacon, toast. Okay, I think a lot of us could take that down. Not that big a deal. In fact, many of you, that probably sounds like an amazing breakfast every single day. 4 eggs, 5 pieces of bacon. For me, I usually do a 3-egg omelet, maybe 3 or 4 slices of bacon, but okay, add another egg in there, piece of bacon, 4 eggs, 5 pieces of bacon, grated and toast. Oh, and 2 protein shakes. What? Like 1 protein shake is supposed to be your breakfast. So you basically are eating 3 meals for breakfast. Okay. His lunch is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. All right, that's fine. A Go Macro bar. All right. And then 2 more shakes every 6 holes. What? Also, he's encouraging snacking. And then for dinner, he's going to have steak. Okay. He's going to have potatoes. All right. That's a good dinner. And 2 more shakes. So he's eating a normal diet that I think most of us could eat. You know, 4 eggs, 5 pieces of bacon, toast, sandwich for lunch, an energy bar, steak and potatoes for dinner. But he's adding 2 protein shakes at every one of those meals. So imagine eating exactly what you eat and then 6 protein shakes on top of that a day. Yeah, no thanks. So he looks like Mike Allstott now somehow. And clearly he's really intense. Bryson DeChambeau is now really, really intense because on the weekend, he does end up winning the event this weekend, but he also fumes over getting filmed by a camera guy when he's kind of angry after a bad shot. Dude, what do you think they're supposed to film? Bryson DeChambeau felt as though this camera guy was in his space. DeChambeau told Golf Network, Golf Channel, he was literally watching me the whole entire way up after getting out of the bunker, walking up next to the green. And I was like, sir, what's the need to watch me that long? I mean, I understand his job is to video me, but at the same point, we've got to start protecting our players out here compared to showing a potential vulnerability and hurting someone's image. I just don't think that's necessarily the right thing to do. Could you imagine this type of attitude? I mean, imagine Tom Brady or LeBron, who have accomplished far more than Bryson DeChambeau, getting angry on the sideline, throwing a towel, clipboard, upset at an interception, took a sack, missed a big shot, and them getting so fired up as the cameras get in on them, them freaking out of the camera guy and go, "Don't stop videoing me. Stop filming me. Protect my image."
What's your beef?
That would be insane. If suddenly LeBron lashed out at the camera guys that work for Turner, why are you even shooting me, man? You're hurting my image. Brady takes a sack, throws a pick six, fumes on the sideline, goes after the CBS crew. How dare this camera guy even shoot me? Like, you're competing in a big event. What do you? This isn't a security camera footage taken by TMZ from outside your house. You're on a course competing in an event. What do you expect? To be able to hide being frustrated? Whatever, dude. Whatever, scientist. And we got Bryson DeChambeau weighing in on his win from over the weekend. Here is what DeChambeau said about his own ability this weekend.
It was massive. There were so many putts that I made today that if those don't go in, I don't have that opportunity. You know, I played really well on the front nine, struck it beautifully. And then on the back nine, I got a little tight and didn't hit the driver the way I wanted to. And I figured something out a couple days ago with the driver, and it worked really well yesterday, worked really well on the front nine for me today, and just didn't get it really going on the back and got a little unlucky on, 14, going in the water there. But I was able to persevere, adapt, overcome, and improvise and do my best to make 3 birdies coming in to win.
Voila.
So he wins the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit by 3 strokes. And he had a dominant weekend. I mean, some of his drives were just insane. They were comparing him to Tiger on a lot of these drives. And he becomes the first PGA Tour player in 16 years to lead any tournament in driving distance, shots gained off the tee, and putting. And he does it after throwing on, some said 40 pounds. I mean, maybe it was. He looks like a different human being. He puts on 40 pounds and then just destroys the Rocket Mortgage Classic? I don't know. And then freaks out at a camera guy? Like, what type of weekend did Bryson DeChambeau have? Is that the best or the worst weekend in science ever?
The scientist.
Bizarre. Totally bizarre. Suddenly just adds 40 pounds of bulk, gets in fights with the camera guy, destroys drives off the tee, crushes the putting, and has like one of the best days ever. There's the science. It's science!
The scientist.
He blinded me with science. Bryson DeChambeau.
The scientist.
Voila.
Voila. Science! Joining us for headlines this morning is Erica Herskowitz as she fills in today for Andrew Bogish. Miss Erica Herskowitz, good morning.
Good morning. Why is he called the scientist? Am I just clueless?
He tinkers with a lot of his shots and his game, and apparently he does this like in a golf lab. And so his nickname is the scientist. And the way that Anne Liguori says it is so melodic that
he's
we want that we use that as a drop here on the show.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. All right. Well, now I'm caught up on my Bryson DeChambeau background. On Saturday, DA, the biggest name in baseball so far, opted out of playing in the upcoming season. As you know, Dodgers ace David Price will forgo $11.5 million to sit out, citing health concerns from COVID-19. And as Mike Trout continues to weigh his options, as he's not that comfortable with the situation, Braves pitcher Felix Hernandez is the latest player to announce he has decided to opt out. The former Cy Young Award winner worked out with the Braves over the weekend in Atlanta before he decided not to play. Four Braves did test positive in the first wave of league-wide testing, including teammate Freddie Freeman, who's apparently battling fever. This weekend marked the official start of baseball summer camps. Three minority owners are reportedly looking to sell their shares of the Washington Redskins, apparently unhappy with team owner Dan Snyder. The trio, including FedEx CEO Fred Smith, are said to be owning a combined 40% of this team. The news comes as the Redskins finally agree to consider a name change amid new pressure and the national focus on human rights and social injustice. The NHL appears to be making some headway in resuming its season. The league and players union reportedly agreed on health and safety protocols for the restart. The deal includes daily COVID testing and quarantine rules, limiting roster sizes, and giving the players the option to opt out of playing as long as they notify their team by Tuesday. The NBA is getting closer to implementing its plan to get back underway. The Bucks and Kings, though, shut down their practice facilities yesterday after the latest round of COVID testing. The Nuggets, Heat, Clippers, and Nets also did that last week. No word on who or how many have tested positive. The move comes as the team's traveling parties get ready to depart for Orlando on Thursday, with scrimmages starting on July 22nd. And the scientist, Bryson DeChambeau, closed with a 7-under-65 to win the Rocket Mortgage Classic, as we were talking about, in Detroit yesterday. Three-stroke victory over third-round leader Matthew Wolf. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Erica. Thomas tweets in, I thought about you guys when I saw Joey Chestnut win again. Yeah, I think we need some type of hot dog handicap on Joey Chestnut. He ate 75 freaking hot dogs on Saturday. 75. That's an all-time record. And he beat everybody by 33 hot dogs.
Crunching and munching.
33 hot dogs. I mean, come on. What? He could have eaten 40 and won the event. He ate 75. This is not okay. This is not fair. How long is he going to do this for? The rest of our lives? Is there anybody that could take down Joey Chestnut? I mean, at this point in time, you would imagine that he's going to have like a 20-year chokehold on this until, I don't know, he croaks from eating too many hot dogs.
I'll be hungry and focused and ready for it.
No. No, Badlands, you weren't. You ate 20. He ate 75. So our question, our poll question today is, should there be a hot dog handicap for Joey Chestnut? I also root against him because he shunned us on this show. Mike tweets in DA, I tried mutton once, didn't care for it, so I just spit the mystery meat into blue napkins and stuffed it into the couch cushions. Oh. 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 There's Joey Chestnut just pounding copious amounts of mutton. Rawr, rawr. 10 more pounds of mutton for Joey.
Oh, God.
I love it. Rawr. We just need to find a way that Joey stops dominating this hot dog eating competition. Plus, this year he did it at home. They were all quarantined at home. Socially distanced Nathan's hot dog eating competition. I wonder if the elements inside actually helped him, not being outside, not being in the middle of the blazing hot sun, crowd, maybe a little bit of a thicker air to breathe. Maybe, you know, it's like playing in a dome. The offense runs hotter. But also you see him after one of these things, he's sweating, he's got all this water all over his face. He's just such a slob. We got to have somebody challenge this guy. This is just not okay anymore. Got to have somebody. Yeah, we need somebody to challenge this guy. And clearly Badlands Booker ain't it. We love Badlands, but.
Crunching and munching.
Maybe we need to, the handicap will be Joey Chestnut eats an Admiral's Feast before the hot dog eating competition. And then maybe Badlands has a chance.
I did have my Admiral's Feast.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I like bologna. Everybody likes bologna.
When we come back here on the show, your epic fail and advanced analytics. Does Joey need a hot dog handicap? And I'm going to promote something for tomorrow's show, which I think you're going to love. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Joey Chestnut ate 75 hot dogs on Saturday to win yet again the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Competition. 75, okay? The next highest total was Darren Breeden at 42. Joey Chestnut nearly doubled his next competitor. He ate 33 more hot dogs than number two. Which means there's got to be a handicap. That's our poll question on the day. Does Joey Chestnut need a hot dog handicap to make things more exciting? On Twitter, 53% of you said no. On Facebook, 59% of you said no. Is this interesting to you guys? I mean, Chestnut just dominates, thrashes everybody, has done so for a decade plus, and is now 33 hot dogs better than number two. I mean, maybe I'm just embittered because of how he has treated us on this show, but I think there's got to be a hot dog handicap here. Facts. According to the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council, yes, that's a thing. Americans eat 150 million hot dogs on the 4th of July. Chestnut also holds the record in, of course, mutton sandwiches. Eating 81 4-ounce mutton sandos in 10 minutes, May of 2018.
Oh, God.
Exactly. The man is a monster. Get a handicap in here for him. He must be taken down. 81 mutton sandwiches. Ever see this video of him eating like 100 Big Macs on YouTube? I watched it once. Disgusting. Gross. Guy is sweating. Disgusting. Meat sweats by like the 26th Big Mac.
Crunching and munching.
It's gross. All right, that's your advanced analytics. Tomorrow on the show, I'm super excited because on Thursday night, I listened to something that I thought was as special, as unique, as anything I had ever heard on sports talk radio. On Thursday night, my man Little Mo had an entire sports radio show dedicated to him that was hosted from his bedroom. Jeremy Kahn, who hosts the evening show on 105.7 in Baltimore, our CBS Sports Radio affiliate there, has become a family friend, a close family friend of Mo. And you guys know how dearly I hold Mo close to me and how much he means to me and how proud of him I am and how much he inspires me and is my hero. Well, Jeremy wanted to celebrate Little Mo. And since Mo has always wanted to be a sports talk host, brought the setup to Mo's bedroom. And Mo, for 4.5 hours, hosted a radio show that was stuffed wall to wall with people telling Mo how much he means to them. Complete strangers. It was extraordinary. And 105.7 deserves so much credit for going out of their way to do this. Jeremy Kahn deserves so much credit for being just an amazing human being amongst all this. And the callers in Baltimore, all night long, they went on the air at 6. They finally signed off at 10:30 because finally Mo's mom was like, I think he's got to get to bed. Non-stop calls and messages from the city of Baltimore for Mo Gabba. It was so awe-inspiring. Add on top of this that Mo got calls from John Harbaugh, Buck Showalter, WWE star Roman Reigns, multiple professional athletes, and Ray Lewis. It was such an amazing night of radio. And I'm going to play clips of it tomorrow on the show because I just think it was so extraordinary and something I've never heard before. You know, I've never heard sports radio have this type of drumbeat of positivity, of warmth, and of gratitude, unless it was like a team wins a championship and everybody's just delirious with happiness. But that's about a sports team. This is a young 14-year-old boy who has spent probably 3/4 of his life in hospitals battling cancer now for the 4th time. A young man that was blinded by this very early on when they found a growth on his retina and has never once stopped being outwardly amazingly positive. And it has touched so many people. And he's such a great sports fan and such a vocal, passionate sports fan for the Orioles, for the Ravens, that the city of Baltimore absolutely adores him, as so many of us do as well here on the DA show since he was a caller from many years ago. And it was just one of the most amazing things I've ever heard on Thursday night. It was just absolutely astoundingly amazing. So I'm going to play some of that for you tomorrow on the show, and I think you're really going to get a kick out of it. Mo is just changing the world. He's amazing. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And we go back in time to 2 years ago where we debated why Kirk Cousins was cooking up mutton on his grill or something that looks like that. I mean, it just looks absolutely disgusting. So what is Kirk Cousins actually grilling? And of course, it's Kirk Cousins. Here is your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
It's amazing because this is the most Kirk Cousins moment ever. This is 2 years ago, 4th of July weekend. He takes a picture of a lake that he is vacationing on.
I am so happy!
And there is this deck chair that is looking over the lake. Beautiful, serene lake. Beautiful, sunny day. And then his grill. And so this is just the most Kirk Cousins thing ever.
You like that?
Kirk Cousins is like, oh yeah, great day. Got this grill cooking. People are going to love this. What a shot. The deck, the sun, the water, the grill. And he's got the grill top open. And there are 8 chunks, light tan drab slabs of something that barely look at them.
You maybe get order of big clams.
And of course, in Cuz's mind, he's like, oh, these steaks are awesome.
You like that?
And the rest of us are like, those look disgusting.
It's going to explode in your mouth.
Those look like they are made with leather. Those look plastic or polyurethane. They look awful, Kirk. And Kirk Cousins is like, oh, we are killing it today. These steaks are awesome.
Everything we have is top of the line.
They're the bomb.com.
You suck the meat right off the bone.
And we're all like, ew, what are you cooking?
Excuse me.
I actually think maybe they are vegan or vegetarian fake meat because they just don't look like real meat. And we've never found out from Kirk what exactly he was cooking there, but they do not look like real meat.
We got meatless balls!
It's like, imagine a Lego movie cooked steak. That's what this steak looks like. If the Lego Batman cooked steak, that's what it's just, it looks plastic. It looks disgusting. And Kirk Cousins, he's like, this is awesome! Got the best steaks ever!
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Miguel in San Antonio asks, DA, do you think there's any way that Pop, my man, takes a job with the Nets? I don't see it, but could you see it happening? I can. This question comes up because there's been some scuttlebutt around the NBA that Sean Marks, who is the GM of the Brooklyn Nets, and of course they fired Kenny Atkinson right before a pandemic hit, would give a king's ransom offer to Pop to leave the Spurs and to join the Nets. And Gerald Brown of SiriusXM NBA Radio said that the Nets are preparing a, quote, godfather offer to get Pop. But Sean Marks has also kind of backed away from saying that they're going to do that. And he's been respectful. He was just on WFAN in New York the other day and said that he's going to be coaching the Spurs. He wants to stay there and he's happy there. Now, could Sean Marks give a massive offer to Pop in the offseason? Sure could. But I don't see that happening. I don't see Greg Popovich, who has flirted with retirement already, at the very tail end, leaving to go restart and do this somewhere else. I don't see him wanting to dive back into a new endeavor, like coaching a different team, if he's only planning on doing it for a year or two. You know, if Greg Popovich had some type of inclination to coach another 10 years or even 5 years and said, you know what, at this point in my career, I'm looking for something new to be energized, coaching Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. That sounds like a lot of excitement, a lot of fun. I work for Sean Marks, who I know really well. I'd have a godfather offer. I'd make all of this money, have all of this control, yada, yada, yada. I'd be in the number one New York market. If that was enticing to Pop, I think it would have had to happen a couple of years ago. I don't think he's at a point in his career, doesn't feel this to me, where he's kicking the tires on trying something new. You know, I think Pop is already towards the end of his coaching career and might go into the front office or something, you know, higher than your everyday coaching. Maybe a little bit more detached, a little less pressurized. But I don't think that we're suddenly going to see Greg Popovich jump into a different job to do all the same old stuff that he's been doing coaching with the Spurs. That'll do it for us this morning here on the show. Hey, thanks to executive producer Connor Green this morning, also on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Billy Jagalo, associate producer today. Thanks to Erica Herskowitz on your headlines. And Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. We're at it tomorrow on a Trash Tuesday. Be good and be good to one another. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.